Welcome to our service for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. We've been away this week, travelling in Worcestershire. We don't go back there very often, but we both enjoyed seeing old friends and old places, and in Jane's case, some members of her family. I suppose it's our last holiday before retirement when, they tell me, life doesn't suddenly become all holiday, as at this stage we tend to think it will. Still, it was a cheerful time. And we begin with a cheerful hymn. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. Time for our prayers of penitence. We'll think a little today in the address about that moment in the service when we hear God's forgiveness, what we call the absolution, when sometimes I just want to pause and enjoy it for a moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from the Epistle of James in chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9. After leaving the mountain, Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold. Silver, purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire, my heart's one desire is to be from within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire, my heart's one is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do.
Many examples of Christian sayings from outside the Bible which are so famous that they've become part of the liturgy and found their way into our collects, the weekly prayers which all Christians, at least those who use the common lectionary, use in our worship. But today is one of them. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. The writer is Augustine of Hippo, who lived in the 4th and 5th centuries AD, Hippo was the name of a region in North Africa of which he was bishop, but his lasting fame is as a writer and theologian. In fact, we still feel his influence perhaps more than we realise in Christian thought today. There is a line which runs from the teaching of St. Paul directly through Augustine's interpretation of it into the thought of the great reformer Martin Luther, and hence into pretty much all Protestant thought from the Reformation to the present. We tend to think of the Reformation as a great breach with everything that had gone on before it in the Western Roman Catholic Church, but within that church was the Augustinian Order of Friars, an order which took its name from Augustine of Hippo, and within which Martin Luther was an Augustinian monk. Luther's fundamental thinking about the great Pauline doctrines of redemption by grace and justification by faith is recognisably based on the earlier teaching of Augustine, even though it drove him out of the order and ultimately out of the Roman Catholic Church. There is a chain, then, linking the thoughts of these three men, St. Paul, St. Augustine, and Martin Luther. But in terms of the quotation with which we began, "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you," it's ironic enough that these three are three of the great restless spirits of Christian history. The quotation we have in the collect is probably the second most famous from Augustine, but the most famous is from his earlier work, The Confessions. "Lord, give me patience," he prays, "but hurry." Augustine's youth was wild and restless. The Confessions tell us that it was only in reading St. Paul's epistle to the Romans that he discovered the loving grace and forgiveness of God, which became the basis of his life thereafter. Luther's restlessness was expressed in his attempts to live up to his monastic vocation by extreme acts of piety and self-abasement. It is said to be while he was climbing the monastery staircase on his knees that he came to the realization that salvation came not by works of piety or charity even, but by the grace of God solely through faith, sola fide, as his great doctrine came to be called. Meanwhile, St. Paul, whose thought lies behind the thought of both Augustine and Luther, was a restless, violent persecutor of the followers of the new Christian way, until Christ stopped him in his tracks on the road to Damascus and made him realize that it was himself he was hurting by his rage. Augustine, Luther, Paul, all of them would have said that they found a new rest and a new peace in those moments. But in truth, none of them became an especially restful soul in the aftermath. We have good cause to be grateful that they did not. We who belong to the Protestant churches owe an incalculable debt to Luther's challenge to the malpractices of the Roman Catholic Church, and thereby, as we have already seen, to Augustine's busy career as a pastor, writer, and thinker. And we who are Gentile Christians, of course, owe an incalculable debt to the subsequent restless missionary zeal of St. Paul and his explanation of the gospel for all believers. My old friend Andy Herrick, who moved on from this diocese to become Archdeacon of Anglesey, is fond of St. Paul's sayings in Romans 12:8, "If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone." Or in 2 Timothy, "Live a peaceable and quiet life," which sounds all well and good, but they are sayings which St. Paul himself was absolutely incapable of following. We read of his conflict with Barnabas in Acts, of his angry controversies about circumcision in Galatians. In Philippians he writes, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." He'd been a restless persecutor of the church, and then became instead a restless preacher of the gospel. What we see in the lives of these men, especially in the life of Paul, but indeed in the lives of all the saints, is that the Lord knows us in all the variety of our personalities which he has given to us, and that all of us have within us gifts which he will use for his service, if only we will submit ourselves to his will. We've good cause to be thankful for the restlessness of these three great Christian men and those like them, and we still need people like them in our churches today, people with restless energy and passion for the gospel. But we also need restful people too, people of quiet prayer, of pastoral patience and charitable grace. The ministry of the body of Christ needs all the different gifts and all the different personalities which God has given to his people. What Augustine also suggests, though, in the words that we began with from our colleague today, is that there is a rest which every Christian person ought to know, a resting place of stillness under the gracious, all-seeing eye of God. From the first, in the book of Genesis, the Bible surprisingly emphasizes that resting in the Lord is the purpose for which we were created. On the seventh day of creation, the Lord rests from all his labor, and thenceforward commands his followers to do the same, a commandment which, as Jesus emphasizes, is given to us not just to honor the name of the Lord, but also for our own well-being. The Sabbath was made for man. That's why there is a moment in every service of worship where we hear the forgiveness of God in the words of the absolution, Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. I often think at that point that the service moves on too restlessly to the Gloria or the Collect or whatever piece of liturgy follows next. Sometimes I think we ought to stop. Life, like the liturgy, will hurry onwards tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. But the absolution invites us to enjoy for a quiet moment the grace in which we stand. It is a moment when our restless hearts can find the rest which only Christ can give, and a foretaste of the eternal rest, which is promised to us in him. Amen.
bydd can ar ei ddiw er mwyn fy nghaed bod roedd I hyn I gael o'n lan. Cael o'n lan yn clawn da o'n I dec a hiwn ar un I dlos dim ond cael o'n lan ach dan I can i'r dydd a can i'r nos. Cael o'n lan
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Christine. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In ta dat anoit in a nevoith, sancte thea de enu, de led de dernas gunera de oweslis, megis in an air vesli ar a ddear hefi. Dod o'n i heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o'n un ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwan ni y brofedigaeth eith y gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
Holy Father, give us a spirit of contentment and peace, that we may enjoy who we are and what we have. Help us not only to appreciate what you have given us, but to be gracious to others. May the world's goods be neither hoarded nor squandered, but used for the benefit of all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God for ever. Amen. We give thanks for your peace in our hearts and minds, that deep peace which comes from you alone. Make your church an instrument of peace, of love and healing. We pray for areas of conflict within the church. Help all to remember that we should be united and guided by your love, that doctrines may differ, but there is only one faith, and you are Lord and Father of mankind. We pray for all our clergy and those who minister and work in our community. We ask for your guidance for Fran, as she prepares to take on the cloak of Matthew. And we pray for a long and healthy retirement for Matthew and Jane. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring your gift of peace to places of war and unrest, to peoples being destroyed by greed and selfishness. We pray for all people who are abused by the ambition of others. We pray for the situation in Israel, Gaza, Iran, Ukraine, Russia, and all places of war and turbulence. Words of peace sound so beautiful, but real peace comes from you alone. We remember all who are never content or satisfied, and all who find no rest unless they rest in you and your love. O God, by your power, defend us and give us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort, O Lord, all who have been betrayed or deserted, all who have been misunderstood or persecuted. We pray for hostages and their families and friends. Help them, please, in their fear. Give them your comfort and peace in their hearts. Give them hope and to know that you love them. We remember all who are lonely in their sickness. We pray for all who are ill at home or in hospital. We pray for healing and comfort and strength for all, and strength for all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we give thanks to you for the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death and for the gift of eternal life. Mm-hmm. We pray for friends and loved ones who are with you in glory. Help us to understand that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace and spread it abroad. Thank you that as we draw near to you and your love, you will draw near to us. Help us to resist the devil and all his works, knowing that he will flee from us. O God, by your power defend us and give us your peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh,
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.